LinkedIn News.
From the news team at LinkedIn, I'm Jesse Hempel, and this is Hello Monday. It's our show about the changing nature of work and how that work is changing us. And you can probably hear it. I've got some seasonal allergies going on this week. Bear with the voice. So I have this friend. She's in her early 60s. I met her a long time ago now through my first big journalism job, and she's always been a mentor to me. She's like one of those kind of people who's just an engine of great ideas, and then she's really generous with them. You probably know the type. Anyhow, last fall we were catching up, and she told me that she'd gotten to feel pretty lousy about her job. Well, she had one, working in media, and it was a fine gig on paper. It paid enough, the work was okay. But my friend had just reached this new moment in her life. Her youngest child had gone to college, and her partner had passed away a few years earlier. She found herself unencumbered, with newfound time. And she didn't want just a job. She didn't want to coast. She wanted to create things, things that mattered, to make connections, to make more money. She was professionally ambitious, but the message she got from her boss was, just chill out. What do you want to work so hard for now, at this stage? And that, well, that's a form of ageism, an ism that is at the heart of today's episode. Ageism's a tricky one. The older we get, the more we encounter moments where we begin to wonder, how does this perception of our age impact us at work? Often it's not something we can know for sure, more of a suspicion that shadows us. So, what can we do about it? More after this.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
Today's guest is Carrie Hannon. She's a senior columnist with Yahoo Finance and a personal finance reporter. She's written many, many best-selling books. Her most recent is called In Control at 50 Plus, How to Succeed in the New World of Work. Carrie's work, it focuses on how to help everyone get more from a career. She's got thoughts for people who are searching for jobs, maybe striking out. She has encouraging words for people who feel like they've been overlooked in their current role. And she has the personal experience to illustrate her points. Now, I told Carrie about my dear friend, and that's where we begin today. Here's Carrie Hannon.
You know, to be honest with you, I think the world has shifted a bit. I think there is a feeling that in your early 60s, you might be winding down. But it is such a case-by-case situation, and it really is determined by the energy that you bring to it. And unfortunately, you know, people who have been sort of in their lane for a long time are kind of startled by somebody coming with a fresh set of eyes and more hunger once again. So I think, you know, it's a narrative I find difficult to listen to, because I think the workplace is changing, and that kind of attitude is really, there's no place for it anymore.
Yeah, well, tell me about what is changing in the workforce right now.
Well, I think we're seeing a big shift, Jesse, because what has happened, if you look at the pure demographics, there are not as many younger workers coming up through the pipeline as in previous years. And so employers are starting to realize, oh my goodness, now we have this tight labor market and I can't find qualified workers. Well, for gosh sakes, they realize that they have these workers who are over 50, over 60, who are here. They can do the job right now. They have the skills to move forward, and they just don't have as many younger people. As we move forward, this is a global aging issue. It's not just in the United States, but the smart employers are catching on. They're realizing that they have to find ways to attract and retain workers. And I hate the word older, but we'll just use it for this conversation. But somebody over 50, and truly over 50 and over 60, to me, are two very different kinds of workers in many ways.
Say more about that.
Well, I think when people 50 to 60, you're still pedal to the metal, right? This is really some of your peak earning years, your peak opportunities to really own what you've learned over this career and apply it in ways that you've always wanted to or stretching. And 60 and beyond can be lots of things to people. It can be a time, like we talked about at the top of the show, of somebody who really is jumping back in. They're empty nester, they're ready to roll. But it often is somebody who says, you know what, I want to just dial it back a little bit because what I want is flexibility. I want to be able to work where I want to work and when I want to work. And so there's a little more shifting in this process of like what that person is looking for. It's not, you know, everyone has their own definition of what's going to matter. But I do think when you roll into that decade of your life, you are looking for ways to have a balanced approach to your work life.
I think that sounds extremely germane. Like one thing that I wonder is you talk about employers sort of missing the fact that even as they're frightened by the fact that there seem to be fewer workers coming into the workforce, they're missing the sort of grand number of aging. I hate that word, older and aging. Why do I hate those words so much? They give me like a little shiver because we have so much attached to them.
Yeah.
But that there are a sea of very qualified people and in fact, people who can learn and grow and change and be qualified if only they know where and how to invest.
Yeah. I mean, there is this vibrancy. I honestly, there's this sort of, when you get to a certain age in your working life and you've got these decades of experience, there's a level of confidence that you can bring to your work and a sense of, you know what, you're still striving, but you don't have that anxiety that you once had. You can, you know, look at things with a much broader lens than when you're younger and you're climbing, trying to find the right opportunity. Who are you networked with properly? All of those good things. But at this stage, like if you take my own example, I am, you know, in my early 60s, I'm 63. I took a full-time position. I'd run my own business for 20 years. I'd worked in-house before that. I took a full-time position 2 years ago with Yahoo Finance. They found me. Okay, guys, they found me through LinkedIn, right? A recruiter just approached me on LinkedIn and I'm like, well, I'm not looking for anything, you know, but they gave me something that I couldn't refuse. And they said, yeah, you can still write books. You can still give speeches. You can do whatever the heck you want to do, but we need you to be a senior columnist for us. And I'm like, well, okay. And I report to an editor who is two decades younger than me. And so this is one thing that employers often worry, like, well, they play nicely with the other children, you know? And the fact of the matter is, I love it. Like, it has completely changed the way I look at my work because she comes to my editor, sees things from a different perspective than I do. I'd kind of gotten a little jaded. I've been covering these topics of retirement and work and jobs and personal finance for a long time. And a lot of the stories kind of repeat themselves. And so it's so much fun. And she's really smart. And it's energized my work in a way I never expected to happen. And so the two of us have become this really great team. And I encourage people, you know, who are listening to look for those opportunities because this intergenerational energy is something you can't put a price tag on. And I think employers need to pay attention to that.
I think that makes so much sense. And what you describe is really exciting, which is that somebody came to you and said, hey, you should think about this. And it brought your attention to the opportunity. You know, very often what I hear from our listeners is kind of the opposite of that, which is I went and put a name in for this position and I got overlooked. And I think it's because I'm old. I know one particular member, he wrote me, he said, you know, I applied for 40 jobs and I didn't get them.
Oh my gosh.
He was 42.
Oh, wow.
And then he said he had begun to grow a goatee that he was real proud of and had a little bit of gray in it. He shaved off the goatee and he got the next job he applied for.
Oh, you know what happens is in today's workplace, the hiring managers are often in their 40s. And so people tend to hire people who look like them, who are in their age group and all of that. So that's one little filter that no one really pays attention to, but it's the truth. And so they kind of winnow people out. They almost see your expiration date and you're like, No. That's not, I have no intention of following a traditional expiration date. First of all, 40 places to apply is crazy. You should really you need to focus it down. Like, where do you want to work? What kind of job do you want to do? And who do you know who's there? You do not get jobs by sending resumes out. You get jobs by who you know. And this is, we've been saying this for years, but it's more true now than ever. It's, I always say networking is one letter away from not working. And so it's absolutely, who do you know that can, they don't have to give you the job, but they can introduce you to somebody else. I know a guy who, he was in his early 50s. He was a terrific salesman, downsized, lost his job. He couldn't get any traction. Again, ageism, which is alive and well in the workplace, as we just discussed. He said, you know, he's a brilliant sailor. He went down to Florida to Longboat Key, you know, took a job teaching sailing for the spring season. He had their CEO out on the sailboat with him one day that he was teaching. Actually, he taught him most of the week. And he told the guy, you know, that he was looking for work. And he said, you know what? We have a job open at our company for a project manager. And he goes, well, I have no qualifications for that. And he goes, yes, you do. You have just shown me all week long that you know how to get from A to B and through this kind of weather and that. And he said, you have those skills. So often, and in fact, he did go back, he did interview, he did get that job. Now, he did know the CEO from sailing, but here you go. They have a common passion. But who would have thought he would get a job doing a hobby, something he loves, as a part-time job? So I think people need to open up that scope, but it comes down to the human connection.
You know, I think that is so wise, and it comes up in so many ways in the different conversations we have on the show. You mentioned, you say, Carrie, ageism, it's alive and well in the workplace. Ageism is one of those tricky things because it's something that a lot of people feel may be involved in a decision, but you kind of can never know for sure, or very often you can't know for sure. And I feel like in that way, I have seen it demoralize people.
Yeah,
that they feel like it's playing a hand in whether it's their job search or the way they're perceived in the work, but they can't quite name it and they don't feel like they can address it.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I think remote work has been fantastic to push back against this. And I know, you know, companies are calling people back into the office to, you know, more hybrid situation. But I know, I've heard stories of like as we get older, and there are younger workers on our teams, sometimes you almost feel apart from them. Like they're talking about things and music that you're not really in on, you know, and you almost feel like they're kind of cutting you out, but they're not doing it on purpose. It's just that they have those things in common. And so there is that generational thing that pops up in very subtle ways that makes you feel like you're staring through the glass wall at people. When you work remotely, you don't have that.
Yeah,
you don't have
that's true.
That, you know,
that is true.
You're judged on your performance, your productivity. I mean, and it's done a lot to help workers who are a bit older in the workplace because it takes away that, people do judge a book by its cover. So no matter whether you shave off the goatee with the gray hairs or not, you're getting judged. If you're not, you know, face to face with someone decades younger than you, it often can be a real help in the workplace. And also many workers at a certain stage of life start to have some health issues or whatever that makes commuting a drag. It's just hard and the workplace might not be ergonomically set up. But if you can work remotely, it solves all those problems.
I so hear you. And also you began by saying, I know companies are calling people back to work. We also know that's true as well. You know, in your book, you make a case for people going it alone, people choosing to start their own thing. And in fact, you said, and I hadn't thought about this, but as soon as you said it, I was like, of course. You said, you know, older women in particular can often be very successful at entrepreneurial endeavors because they move a little bit more slowly as they build their business. And so they're more successful over time. Why do you suggest that going it alone is one viable path for somebody in the second half of their career?
Yeah, I'm a real believer in entrepreneurship because it you're in control, right? It really gives you the opportunity to move forward in a direction that you want to go in. And perhaps you're pursuing something you've always wanted to do that you've set aside for a number of years. Or it may be simply within the same field you've always been in, but just launching off on your own gives you the sense of freedom, of opportunity. Now, you have to do the groundwork in order to make it a true success.
We're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, more with Carrie Hannon.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise. A promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. A promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
From the minds of visionaries to the desks of disruptors, I'm Laura Schmidt, host of the Redefining Work podcast. Join me each week as we explore the new world of work through the lens of those shaping it. CEOs, HR leaders, investors, and more. Be a part of the conversation that changes everything. Subscribe to Redefining Work today.
And we're back. Carrie believes in entrepreneurship. As she says, it offers control and choice, but not everyone is driven to run a business. Getting clear with yourself about what you're looking for in that second half of your career, it sounds really basic, but you can't skip this step. Here's Carrie.
Jesse, I think the most important thing is, like, and it sounds corny and you hear it all the time, but you want to start by doing that inner, I call it the inner MRI. So it's really getting real with yourself. Sit down and have that opportunity to really look at what it is that you've always wanted to do. You've been, at this stage of life, you've probably ticked off a lot of those things that you were expected to do in your life. You know, you went to college, you got married, maybe you had kids, you moved up in your career path that you were on. And now you're at this point like, well, what's next? I mean, I've kind of checked out of those boxes, but I'm feeling unfulfilled and I'm not done yet. I'm far from being done yet. But until you actually pull back the covers and say, okay, so what do I want to do? What, you know, if the big ticket money items maybe are out of the way to a certain extent, you need to start thinking about what is it you want to do? What can you do? And how much time do you want to put into that? But the money piece of it is going to be critical because that's the point. That's really the point that's going to, you know, tell you which way you've got to lean. And we all need to, I think more people than we'd like to admit it, aren't prepared to step out of the workplace in their 60s. I mean, this is not the way the world works with long longevity. We're well-educated, you know, people who have, education beyond high school and so forth are generally speaking white-collar jobs. You're going to keep moving along easily. Say you live in all the jokes, are you going to live to 100 now? And it's not a joke because you very well might. And to try to finance 3 decades of not working, 3 decades in retirement is absurd. So I think people are getting the hint that, yeah, I got to be saving harder. I've got to be paying more attention to that. But I also have to always be thinking about my skill set. How am I relevant? It's not just the employers that are, you know, turning away. You have to keep yourself sharp. You have to be relevant and have the skills that make you, you know, someone that can get hired. And I think a lot of us start to coast at a certain stage and figure, yeah, I've been doing this for a long time now. I know what I've got this. But in fact, the world is changing so quickly and with technology and everything, you can't afford to stop learning. And again, that is a key in your mindset and your energy level and what's available to you to do at this stage.
Well, Carrie, even as you say that, I think about how I know you, for a lot of our listeners, they're needing to make a pivot. And sometimes they're needing to make a pivot because they just really want to. They've gotten to the point in their life and their career where they look up and they say, why am I doing this again? I don't even like this.
Yeah.
But then another reason that a lot of people need to make a pivot is because you are right that technology in particular is changing the job landscape so radically that many of the industries that we came into and grew careers in are sort of falling away beneath our feet. And you and I both work in media. That's a great example of an industry that has just seen a massive downsizing in particular this year. And I think it leads people to a place where they need to reimagine their careers in domains they haven't even thought of. You do a beautiful job in your book of offering places where there is going to be growth. How would you suggest someone who has been working in one thing for, you know, most of a career begin to wrap their minds around, like, what direction to even look for a change?
Well, that is a great question. It's also a difficult question to answer because in so many ways, it's hard to imagine, like, what's your next move when you've been in a lane for a long time. And so the big part of it is allowing yourself to dream and allowing yourself to really, I like the idea of working with a career coach because they can often come to you with an unbiased look at your background and your skills and what you love to do and all of that. And they see things that we take for granted that that can spark an idea of, hey, have you considered looking over here? It doesn't have to cost you a lot of money or anything like that. You can, you know, work with somebody on just a, you know, couple of sessions, and they're wonderful places to find them. And I do think you can even talk to friends if they work with somebody, but that is a real ticket. If you can have somebody just help you, because it can get like you're stuck in a place, you're stuck in a moment, and you want to replicate your old job. And that is not where you should be right now. You should be looking forward and thinking of where to go. But it's not about reinventing yourself. I always get kind of a little crazy about that word, because what it is you're redeploying your skills. You're redeploying what you have in your toolkit into a new direction and absolutely adding new things. But it's not so massively difficult as it might seem to be on the surface, because you're taking the things that you know how to do well. And even if you fail to recognize these things, and you're shifting them to a new direction. And so I do think a coach can help you. It's important to have, if you can get together with a group of friends or people who you're acquainted with, who are in this place also, they're looking to make a career pivot. It's fun to be with this kind of just a small group, because you hold each other accountable. Like, did you try this? Have you looked this way? And so you help each other. Your friends and family, of course, want to help you, but they can't support you in the same way as other people in the same situation are. So that's an important step in doing that. And I talk a lot about, you know, if there's things that you're curious about doing, can you find a way to do it? Like volunteer, job, you know, follow somebody around for a while. Just make those informational phone calls to friends for 20 friends and ask them who you should talk to, who might be in that field, or if you know somebody in a field you're interested in. 20 minutes, you're not taking that much of their time. And people love to talk about their work. They really do. If they love their job, trust me, they're going to spend time with you. And you say, where are the opportunities? You know, who else should I be talking to? And these kind of informational interviews, it's surprising where they may lead you.
Yeah, that comes back to the initial advice that you gave us, which is the importance of a network and investing in our network as the path to new opportunities. Often opportunities that may not even exist on paper until we create them through conversation. You know, as we think about making these shifts, it often does mean that we're in a position like you are in, where your manager is, you said, multiple decades younger than you are. And that can be hard to wrap your mind around too. And I'm just wondering, in your own personal experience and as you're out talking to people, there's a little bit of an ego hit in that, or there could be. How do you frame that in a way that it feels like an opportunity rather than frustrating?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about respect. I mean, if they respect you, and you have to realize they're in that job for a reason. Somebody said they know what they're doing. So there is something there, and there's something we can learn from everyone we come in contact with. So you have to open up your mind and let go of those preconceived ideas that just because you're a little bit older, you know a lot more. You don't necessarily, you know different things. And so it's really fun. I just think it's super engaging on both ends to really respect each other and why you're in that position. But important piece of this is, and this was in my case as well, I mean, I used to always be out there telling older workers who are looking for work and, you know, or they've been in a workplace and now they have a younger boss and, oh, you know, how to sort of navigate that. And I would tell them, you know, all the basics, you know, make sure you're up to speed with technology and, you know, blah, 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 because these are the myths about your older worker thing. But it comes down to one main thing. It's communication. And you absolutely have to understand how you're going to communicate with each other in a way. When I started this position at Yahoo Finance, okay, I emailed my editor, I texted her, I called her, and it was like, you know, crickets. It was radio silence. I'm like, so why did they hire me? This is absolutely ridiculous. I do work remotely, mind you, but I was like, oh my goodness. So all of a sudden I realized there's this thing called Slack, and I had never even been on Slack. But Slack is what they had as their communication network within the company. It's what they have. And I'd never used it and I hadn't paid any attention. So that first week I went, oh my gosh, okay, let me get ramped up on this, which is super easy.
Right.
And I sent her a Slack and boom, we're off to the races. Everything's fine. So that's on me because I didn't ask her, how do you like to communicate? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
I mean, that the communications technology piece is so critical. And I think one too often made assumption about older workers is that they're going to be slow to catch on, that they're not going to be able to use the tools as effectively.
Yep.
And the truth is that sometimes it requires you to begin to adopt tools that you didn't use earlier in your career. And that there might be a learning curve to that. And so I love your story because you own that and then you just took it on and you learned it and discovered that it wasn't that hard once you applied yourself.
No. And it's so fun to watch somebody edit me in real time, like on Google Docs. Yeah. You can go in and watch the process. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, and many of our listeners are listening right now and thinking, wow, there was a time before Google Docs, right? I wonder if you might have any parting advice in particular for people who are doing the hiring managers, as they look out in the workforce, like what might you want them to keep in mind?
Pay attention to any of your internal bias. If you can, it's really hard for us to look inside and say that, because often people will make a judgment. Like for example, Jesse, you know, there's this whole movement now to hire skill-based individuals versus having a four-year education. And so companies are putting that as a policy. There's a lot of, I've been writing about it. It's a big deal. But let me tell you, if the same candidate, there are two candidates, they're both qualified for this job, my guess is the hiring manager is going to hire the one with a four-year degree. I don't have hard evidence on that, although a study recently came out of Harvard that sort of points, Harvard Business School, that points in that direction. So I think people, the policies are in the right place, but things aren't always hitting the ground, you know, in reality. And I think this is the same with older workers. I just saw a recent Transamerica study that said, yes, in fact, all these employers are now saying that they are definitely giving more consideration to older workers. But are they really hiring them or are they just giving consideration to them? Yeah. So you want to, you know, get beneath that. And so if you're the hiring manager, explore that in your own work there. Are you really, you know, open to hiring somebody who has lots of runway ahead, that old stereotype that someone's stepping out of the workplace in their early 60s or by 65 is really just that. It's a myth because in today's world, that's something we're not really seeing. We're seeing people extending their working lives. It's just we're still stuck in this rut that 65 is some sort of retirement age. And actually, most people I talk to don't really want to retire. They want to just dial it back and be curious. Be curious about what people have to offer. And the one other thing, Jesse, I would tell, and you use this word in our discussion, if you are somebody who is looking for the job, you're the job seeker. One kind of interesting thing to do in your job interviews is slip in that word curious, because if you can just subtly, because when you say you're curious, that just shows somebody that you're willing to learn new ways of doing things, that you're forward thinking. And that's one of the stumbling blocks. People think you're set in your ways and you're not willing to do that. And in fact, that's not true.
That was Carrie Hannon. You can check out our most recent book,
In Control at 50 Plus, How to Succeed in the New World of Work, wherever books are sold. Carrie brings us so much optimism and so much energy for really any of us who are looking to our 50s and 60s and want to position ourselves for great opportunities. But she's a realist about ageism. She points out that hiring managers too often look for people that look like them. Subconscious bias points them to younger workers. But this is gonna have to change, because even as there are fewer people entering the workforce, there are more older workers looking for opportunities. Smart companies are gonna figure out how to harness their energy. Of course, that doesn't really give comfort to those of us who are in this stage of life now and trying to figure out what to do with our careers. But Carrie has advice. For one, she encourages us to take charge of our destinies. One way to do this is to start our own business. Then we have control. We set the rules. Of course, that's not for everyone. Carrie advocates for what she calls the internal MRI. We really need to take stock of what drives us and what's important to us. Taking the time to do this early in a transition will help make that shift more successful. And Carrie has a certain disdain for the word reinvention that I really respect. She talks about this need to reapply skills that we already have in different areas. We aren't reinventing anything. We are taking what we have and putting it into better use. And for anyone wondering what became of my friend, the one I mentioned at the top of the episode, well, she spent most of the winter networking, talking to people and trying to meet new people and telling everyone that she was ready for bigger challenges. Last month, she started a new job. She's working hard, traveling a ton. She's making more money, and she's much happier. Join us for Office Hours this week. As usual, our senior producer, Sarah Storm, and I will go live on Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern. We do this from the LinkedIn news page. It's really an informal moment to check in with the community. We pour ourselves some coffee, sometimes some tea. If you have trouble finding us, you can email us at hellomonday@linkedin.com and we'll send you a link. Hope to see you there. Hello Monday is a production of LinkedIn News. Sarah Storm and Lolia Briggs produced this episode. Sound design and engineering by Asaf Gadron. Our theme music was composed just for us by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our contributor, Michaela Greer, is an incredible inner MRI technician. Enrique Montavo is our executive producer. Dave Pond is head of news production. Courtney Coop is head of original programming. Dan Roth is the editor-in-chief of LinkedIn. I'm Jesse Hempel. We'll be back next Monday. Thanks for listening.
Yesterday was my 49th birthday. Woo. So I feel like I'm edging up to the starting line for your book. It was sort of good reading for the year that I enter my 49th year.
All right. All right. A little prep for you.